DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans, presented by Marco's Pizza. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So we are getting ready for the cocktail party on Saturday, and we do so off the top here with what I think is kind of an interesting statement, a very interesting statement, if you will, from a Florida legend. Tim Tebow, of course, the Heisman Trophy winner in 2007, has now turned to analyst work there on the SEC Network. And Tebow goes on the Feinbaum show on Friday, and I thought said something that you never want to hear said about your favorite team. Now, we can debate if Tebow's right about this or not. That's fine. But it is certainly ironic that the guy delivering this message, and I imagine if this thing makes its way back to the Buttsmere Heritage Hall, if it makes its way to the Georgia practice fields here this week, I'm guessing this is the kind of thing that could prod the Georgia team on just a bit. And it's ironic that it's said by Tebow, a former Gator, the week before Georgia gets ready to go back to Jacksonville and take on Tebow's former team, Florida, once again here. So let me let you hear this audio, and then we will discuss the ramifications for what this might mean for Georgia this Saturday. Tebow, in evaluating the Georgia performance against LSU, uses a pretty stern word here. Tebow accuses Georgia of quitting in Baton Rouge. Listen to Tebow to see if you agree.
It was the first time I've ever seen, under Kirby Smart, a team out-hustle and out-effort Georgia, and I don't think it was close. LSU showed up with a chip on their shoulder, and they didn't just outplay them. They out-hustled them, and Georgia stopped, and they quit on certain plays, and LSU didn't. If I'm a Georgia fan, or I'm a Georgia coach, or I'm a Georgia player, I am so disappointed in that, and that was shocking to me. It's one thing to lose. It's one thing to have another team out-effort you.
Now, I don't know if Tebow's right about this or not. He's probably watching the film maybe closer than I am. I don't have access to that all 22 footage that shows every single player and every single play. I'm probably not necessarily astute enough to notice what's quitting and what's just ineffective performances on both offense and defense. I don't know if Tebow's right about this, but certainly your hope is that he's not right. Certainly your hope is, in a game of that magnitude, with a lot of Georgia players thrust into a role that they haven't been in before, at least going back to 2017, in an environment they're not used to on the road against a really challenging foe, you would certainly hope that Georgia didn't quit. It would be one of the biggest indictments that you could make on the players on that field last, two Saturdays ago. I'm going to give Georgia the benefit of the doubt here to say that they did not, because if they did, that'd be pretty damning here. And it's the kind of thing that's so potentially condemning that, as I said, my guess is the Georgia coaches are probably going to remind a lot of those Georgia players this week, did you see what Tim Tebow said about you? Tim Tebow said you quit, that you're a bunch of quitters, and you showed that against LSU. What are you going to do to prove him wrong against his former team coming up this Saturday? It's the kind of thing that feels like it might work. And yes, I know we'll have the occasional Florida fan who'll check in on our program in here, and or just a non-Georgia fan in general, that might listen in on this conversation and say, well, if that's what Georgia needs, then they're in more trouble than I thought. If Georgia needs extra motivation against Florida, then they're in a lot more serious set of circumstances coming off the LSU game than maybe I realized. Don't get me wrong on this. I'm not saying that Georgia needs this extra motivation. I'm saying that this could be extra motivation. And to the extent that it gets a different series of emotions flowing here for Georgia, I think that's obviously probably a pretty good thing. I mean, the one thing that you'll notice in our comment sections on our shows over the last few days is that Dog Nation's pretty tense right now. Now, I think, hopefully I'm in a good mood. Hopefully I'm doing a pretty good job of facilitating the conversation every day. But there's just sort of a lot of tension among the fan base right now. I think that's to be expected. We get analysts come on our program back during the summer and predict this, saying y'all are heading for a season that's not going to be very much fun. When it's playoff or bust, when it's national championship or bust, any kind of setback has the feeling of being pretty dire circumstances there. In this case, that's probably proven out to be true for Georgia thus far through the first few weeks of the season. So to take the attention off of the big picture here for a moment and drill down on drilling Florida, I think that's probably a pretty good thing. And if Tebow, the former Gator, of his words, allows that additional focus to take place and get serious about this rival, then all the much better there for Georgia. As I said, I don't know the Dogs need the extra motivation, but they'll certainly take it right now. And I think it's certainly fun to kind of drill down and get ready for this game coming up on Saturday. I mean, after all, here on Dog Nation Daily, we've been talking about this thing for the last 364 days. And now we are just 5 days away. We'll do our Gatorator countdown at the beginning of the show for the next few days here as we get ready to load up and head towards the cocktail party on Saturday. This is a big one. It is going to be a ton of fun. And it's going to be a great opportunity to find out what Georgia really is all about. That the performance that was shown against LSU two Saturdays ago, whether it was a case of, as Tim Tebow said, quitting, or a case of just not being effective, or a case of having the wrong personnel on the field in some respects, some of those questions get answered against against Florida coming up this Saturday. And I can't wait to be there and see it all unfold myself. And I know that many of you feel the same way. My name is Brandon Adams. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We're presented by Marco's Pizza. Good to have you with us. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter feed, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref, and in podcast form, wherever podcasts can be found, the Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player for the Android devices, or the world-famous DogNation.com. We're glad to have you on the program here with us. Glad to have Marco's Pizza there as well. And don't forget, Marco's got a great offer for you. You can say hello, Primo, right now with Italian quality pizza, authentic Italian pizza, three cheeses blended together, the Gianmarco family recipe in the sauce, and it's a great special offer. Not even special, it's the everyday value they have there to Marco's Pizza. Two medium, two topping pizzas, $6.99 each. That's right, $6.99 each. Get you two medium, two topping pizzas, but you need to go to themarcos.com to find the Marco's closest to you. All right, we are loaded on to a day's program. Later on the show, we're going to welcome in a former Georgia great, Champ Bailey, who is not only a great at Georgia, but also went on to just tremendous success in the NFL with the Washington Redskins and the Denver Broncos. Champ's going to be on our program here today. He'll reflect back on his moment against Georgia Florida back in 1997 and what was a thrilling win for the Dogs. And he'll also tell you about a great event he's got going on in Jacksonville coming up this weekend. We'll also get Chip Towers here coming up in just a moment as well. I've got a bunch of huge announcements to make here over the course of the next couple of days about how Dog Nation's going to enjoy the cocktail party coming up on Saturday. So we'll be very busy here over the course of our time together. But before we get to that, let's do Around the Doghouse here, presented by Pella Window and Door on Monday. And there are a couple things that I want to get to here as we kind of transition towards the start of the week after an off week from Georgia this past Saturday, a chance to get back to work and get serious. That means, as I'm doing this live just after 10 a.m. Eastern time, we'll hear from Kirby Smart coming up at around noon today with his weekly press conference. And no doubt Kirby's going to be asked a lot of questions about moving towards Florida, moving towards the rivalry game that is Florida. And on this program, we have made our case known for a while. One of the reasons why we did the Gatorator t-shirts, one of the reasons why we did the Gatorator countdown, is because around here we do believe that Georgia's biggest rivalry is supposed to be Florida. We've explained why over and over again. That if you want to compare to, like, say, the in-state rival Georgia Tech here for a moment, that over the course of two decades, 20 or so years, beating Georgia Tech on a regular basis doesn't necessarily guarantee you any kind of additional success. Yes, you may win clean old-fashioned hate, but there's no real strong indicator you're going to win anything else. However, over the course of time, if you can find a way to beat Florida consistently, that is going to raise the fortunes for the rest of the program. The 2018 version of this game is the latest example of that. Both these teams rated in the top 10. A win here for Georgia would erase the memories of the bad loss to LSU and potentially put Georgia back on that trajectory towards getting back to Atlanta and having another shot at the college football playoff. There is just more at stake over the long haul by beating Florida than there is by beating a team like Georgia Tech, and it's one of the reasons why I've tried to, for lack of a better phrase, evangelize, but the nature of this rivalry, that it's the one that Georgia fans ought to circle, and it's the one that Georgia fans ought to say matters more than anything else. Now, as much as I love Kirby Smart, as much as I certainly respect his leadership of the Georgia program, admittedly, Kirby hasn't always talked about this rivalry the way that I wish he would. You know, the way that I'd love to see Kirby voice this as the game that matters more than any else. Kirby's kind of taking a little bit more of a political tact on this, including last year and the build-up to last year's cocktail party, saying, yes, Georgia-Florida is a rivalry, but Georgia, by the nature of just its geography, has a lot of rivals. Here is how Kirby has spoken about the cocktail party in the past.
We said before, there's five, I think, states contiguous with Georgia, so they're all huge rivalries. And to say that one's more important than the other, I think that's unfair. I think when you say SEC East, you've got to rank those opponents first, because in order to advance, you've got to beat those teams. So those would be all 1As. You know, then you cross over to the West, and it makes it a little different. But this game's as big, and they're all big, not to say that one's bigger than the other.
So listen, there are certain parts of what Kirby says there that I agree with, and certain parts that he says there that I disagree with. You know, if you want to compare Florida to a team like Auburn that Georgia also plays every year and is going to be good more years than not, what makes the Florida game more valuable than that is the fact that, as Kirby said, it is an SEC East opponent. It's that first goal you have every single season, which is winning that division. The Florida game is then more important than the Auburn game because of the specific impact it could have on how you win a division. So from that standpoint, that makes it more important than, say, Auburn, even though there's Georgia, a lot of Georgia fans who have kind of an organic, authentic hatred for the Auburn Tigers. You see that anytime you walk up and down the streets of Athens. That's a team that Georgia fans enjoy cheering against when they're playing somebody else. And yet, for me, I'm going to tell you that the Florida series, the cocktail party, is still more important over the long haul. And if you want to compare Florida to the other teams in the SEC East, another team that a lot of Georgia fans have great hatred for, at least from the sports sense of the word, the Tennessee Vols. Here's the fact about Tennessee. If you look back over the last 20 years, Tennessee as a program has just been a lot less consistent than Florida's been in terms of the winning. If you want to project ahead for the next 20 years, because of the recruiting base, because of everything else that Florida has going for it, Florida will be good again soon. At some point in time, they will raise the fortunes of that program back up again, as much as I don't want that to necessarily be the case. It remains to be seen if Dan Mullen's in the process of doing that right now, but eventually it will happen. I don't think there's the same kind of guarantee in the future when it comes to the Tennessee Vols. Maybe they find some success, but given the lack of in-state recruiting opportunities that exist there, given the challenges of coming into Atlanta for recruits at a time in which South Carolina, Clemson, Alabama, Auburn, programs like that are trying to do the same thing, the future for Tennessee is far less certain. So that makes, over the course of the long haul, the Florida rivalry just more important there. And I understand why Kirby can't necessarily say that publicly. Privately, though, I hope that he does believe that's true. However, before we turn the page on this portion of our conversation here, let me also remind you of this, that while Kirby Smart took a political tact before the game against Florida a year ago, once the game was over and once Georgia had won 42-7, there was a phrase that Kirby used that I thought was just about perfect in summing up the feeling of Dog Nation, who had admittedly, and this pains me to say, y'all, because obviously you don't want this kind of blight on your program, but for years and years and years, you know, driving down to Jacksonville, driving down to St. Simon's, driving down to Amelia Island, wherever it is that you might stay the week before that game, only to drive back on Sunday or late Saturday night with bad moods and bad, you know, feelings after another loss in that series. That was the kind of thing that Georgia ought to want to try to erase from its history as much as it possibly can. Last year, in winning 42-7, it was a step towards doing that. And Kirby, who's more than just a Georgia coach, but also an alumnus of the program, when he spoke about the game after it was over with, spoke about it in the kinds of terms that you have to be a part of Dog Nation to truly understand. And while I don't love what Kirby says about this rivalry game before it's played, I did love the way he talked about it once it was over. Here's Kirby once again.
I think it's special for all the seniors. It's special for our entire university. It's special for our fan base, who is starving for some success against Florida. And the past does not affect the present, and we know that. The most important thing for our team is to keep chopping wood and keep moving ahead. And as long as the seniors buy into that, they'll keep us leading us in the right direction.
I mean, don't you love that phrase, starving for a win against Florida? I think last year that was the case, and here's what I hope, and I think the Georgia fans who are listening and watching right now feel very much the same way, that hunger for a win against Florida wasn't just satiated by one performance in 2017. It's the kind of thing that Georgia fans come back hungry for again here in 2018, and that a streak that Georgia endured for years and years and years with success on the Florida side, maybe we're in the midst of seeing the same kind of streak reemerge on the Georgia side, much like a lot of the Dog fans enjoyed back in the 1980s. That'll be a fun thing to see. All right, Around the Dogcast here on Mondays is brought to you by Pella Window and Door. And Pella Window and Door is certainly able to help you equip your house with energy-efficient windows and doors. They're family-owned and operated with a branch right here in Georgia, which means you get local service backed by a national company. And right now, how about this great offer? You can get 50% off qualifying installations or 0% APR for 48 months. That's valid through November 8th. So that's coming up soon. You want to act on that right now. They also offer the best lifetime warranty with top-of-the-line equipment and unparalleled expertise. There are a couple different ways that you can schedule your free in-home consultation. You can use the website, which is PellaSoutheast.us. That's PellaSoutheast.us. Or you can call 404-445-2000. 2979. Once again, 404-445-2979, and you can reach their Dunwoody showroom and let Pella Window and Door go to work for you, taking great care of your home. Great to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza. And before we transition to talk to Chip Towers, I also want to make another really quick announcement here about something I'm really excited about. As you know, we discuss this a lot. We love the cocktail party around here, and we love being in the middle of it and being a part of it. And on Friday, we're going to have a great chance to do that. And you have a chance to be with us as well, as on Friday, we're going to be broadcasting live from the beautiful King and Prince Resort in St. Simons Island, Georgia. We'll do Dog Nation Daily there that morning and have a very special Gatorhater preview show at 4 p.m. this Friday at the beautiful King and Prince Resort in St. Simons, heading towards the cocktail party on Saturday. So if you're in St. Simons, or you can get to St. Simons on Friday, you can come on by and see us there at the King and Prince Resort. We'll talk a lot about great Georgia Florida memories. We'll look ahead to the game coming up on Saturday. We'll hang out and maybe enjoy a beverage or two as we get ready for a great, great day on Saturday. So as you're counting down towards the cocktail party, look forward to spending the last day before the cocktail party, day one of our Gatorhater countdown, with us at the King and Prince Resort in beautiful St. Simons Island, Georgia. I cannot wait to be a part of that. Can't wait to see you there as well. Busy show for us. Champ Bailey later on. Hope you enjoy Chipped Hours right now.
Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead. Here's a DogNation.com insight.
We will say hello to Chip Towers. Good to have him back on the program, and good to have his coverage coming up this week of Georgia, Florida, back in Jacksonville once again. Chip, I would say that you're just about as much of a historian of this series as anybody could be. You have seen a lot of these over the years, and it has been a while since the stakes for both teams seemingly are as high as they are this Saturday. I guess it's been since back in 2008, a full decade ago, that both these teams were ranked in the top 10. It seems like we've had a lot of games where either one side was good, the other side wasn't, or a couple years in which neither of these teams seemingly were very good. But this is sort of back to the Georgia Florida the way that a lot of us have come to expect it. Two very good teams with a lot on the line. Is it fun for you as a reporter to be reporting on a game of this magnitude in this venue once again?
Oh, absolutely, yeah, and like you said, for it to be meaningful for both sides, that's been the things where it hasn't synced up all that much. I think the 2012 game was a pretty good one as well, and that, you know, Georgia winning that year, 17-9 was a big part of them making it to Atlanta, where they obviously met Alabama and weren't able to get past them. But this is the way it ought to be, Brandon. I think it's great. Number 9 versus number 7. And, this is why both teams insist on the game always being at this point in the schedule, because, the general philosophy is you got to go through one or the other, you know, to get to Atlanta or to get to the SEC championship. And historically, that's been the way it came down. So, it's a big game. It's a tough matchup for Georgia. I mean, it's a tough matchup for Florida, too. But, the way the season has developed and everything else, you can see where Florida definitely has some strengths, where Georgia has some weaknesses. And I would imagine the opposite is the case for Florida as well. But just looking at it from this side, should be a great game, should be a tough challenge. And it's very meaningful for sure.
I think it's really interesting to look at the early predictions on this game as reflected by the line movement. When the thing opened in some of the online books, it was like Georgia's a 9-point favorite. That quickly jumped down to Georgia's only about a 6.5 or a 7-point favorite. It seems like, at least for now, this thing is settled around Georgia as around a touchdown favorite or so. Some additional context for that, Chip. Back in the summer, when sports books like the Golden Nugget released their so-called games of the year, Georgia was about a 15-point favorite. So even with the game being nowhere near the same point spread that Vegas thought it would be back in the summer, there's even been some line movement in favor of the Gators here since the thing opened here this week. Is that an overreaction to the way that Georgia looked against LSU, or is this truly a case of Florida being better than most of us would have thought in the offseason, and maybe, at least to some degree, Georgia not being quite as good?
Yeah, a little of both. It definitely is. But, I do think there's a bit of an overreaction to Georgia's lost LSU overall. Even by me, maybe to some extent. I mean, Georgia just played horrible in that game. But that's the thing, is everybody kind of has a bad game every year. Believe it or not, even Alabama. I mean, since 2009 at least, you know, they've always had a bad game where they didn't play that well and dropped one on the road. So, you know, that's not that unusual in the SEC and NFL junior to drop a game on the road during the season. But the key is how you react to it. And so these 2 weeks have been huge for Georgia and kind of trying to, you know, tighten down some screws and nuts and bolts and get their run defense tightened up considerably. I think that's going to be a huge factor in this game, not just Georgia's run game or not just Georgia's run defense, but Florida's run defense as well. You know, how these two teams do in that regard is going to be a big factor in how the game turns out. But that's exactly how you want it to be this time of year. You know, when you're heading into late October and November, this is when championships are decided. And I think for all practical purposes, I mean, I know Georgia's still got to get through Kentucky after that, but I think if they can come out and get themselves together and play the way that everybody seems to think they're capable of playing, I think everything should fall back in line in front of them.
Yeah, let me give you a theory here as a follow-up to what you were talking about there about the LSU game. I think this is one of those things in which Dog Nation invasion being as big as it was, there are probably 20,000 Georgia fans in the stadium at least. There were more than that probably in New Orleans on that Friday or, you know, the couple days leading up to the game. It ends up making the game itself feel like a bowl game, the kind of thing that was a must win, even though history has shown that losing at LSU is no prerequisite for playing for or winning a national championship. Auburn played for national championship in 2013, for instance, got beat pretty bad when they played at LSU that season. That's a program that hasn't won there since 1999. Really, Alabama's been the only SEC team to have really much success in Baton Rouge over the last, you know, half decade or so, almost full decade when it comes to this. So this may be a case in which, now listen, it also may be true that the game shows some warts that Georgia has desperately got to deal with, but we could look back on this at some point in time, Chip, and say, oh, I guess winning at LSU is just a pretty hard thing to do. LSU's got its issues on offense, but it's almost one of those things where I think sometimes we can forget that that's a venue in particular that's tougher than most when it comes to a road games in the SEC.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, losing at LSU is generally and historically not the worst thing that can happen to you. But, you know, this is where I think, Brandon, where there's some credence to what coaches always talk about. You want your team to be challenged. And I think one of the problems for Georgia going into the LSU game was having not been sufficiently challenged in a lot of ways. And you know, a lot of people right now are playing the score game because they see what Alabama did against Tennessee and those kind of things. But you simply can't do that. What we learned from the LSU game was some things that really, quite frankly, that Kirby Smart had been talking about all along, and we had to some degree as well. You know, just some questions about run defense. You know, some questions about you know, offensive consistency and you know, those all came to pass. But there was, you know, I thought Georgia made it, you know, much easier on LSU than it needed to be. You know, and I know, Brandon, we were there. We know these two teams are talking about LSU and Georgia are a much closer a match, you know, overall. And look, hey, you know, Alabama's got to go there next. We'll see. I mean, they're obviously Roll Tide. They are absolutely rolling and look like a locomotive going down right now, but we'll see. That's a tough place for everybody to play, Alabama included.
Yeah, I think that's exactly right, Chip, and we'll get back to the conversation on Georgia football coming up in a moment. Before that, let me remind you that there's a great opportunity for you to connect with Dog Nation coming up this Wednesday, one of our biggest events yet at Marlowe's Tavern with the Dunwoody location from 6 to 8 p.m. for our Dog Nation big game preview. Looking ahead of the cocktail party on Saturday, I'll be there, Jeff Sintel will be there, but also welcoming in a special guest, former Georgia quarterback David Green. He'll share his memories of a great Georgia winning against Florida in 2004, and he'll relate to the quarterback situation going on right now between Jake Fromm and Justin Fields. He'll also pose for pictures, sign autographs. Great event coming up this Wednesday, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody. That's 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway. We'll love to see you there, 6 to 8 p.m. this Wednesday at the Marlowe's in Dunwoody, 1317 Dunwoody Village Parkway, for our Dog Nation big game preview as we welcome in David Green coming up on a Wednesday night. All right, Chip, let me get your thoughts here. As I said, you've seen a lot of Georgia, Florida events over the years, and on my show, to the extent that I have any kind of platform to use here, I've tried to use over the last couple of years to tell Georgia fans that they ought to view Florida as Georgia's biggest rival. And I've kind of gone through my, you know, list of reasons why that's a good thing for the program to do here. When you look at Georgia and its rivals, Florida this week, Tech at the end of the season, Deep South oldest rivalry with Auburn, some people might include Tennessee in that discussion. How do you think, as a more objective observer, how do you think the list of rivals actually rank here for Georgia?
Well, I think it's number one, Florida, and I've always felt like that, you know, and I think, you know, it obviously goes on generational lines, and there's a lot of much older Georgia fans who will say it's Tech and Tech and always Tech, you know, and that certainly, you know, is a case. I mean, there's a case to be said for that, but obviously, you know, the game has changed over the years to the point that, you know, Georgia Tech now is more like a pesky rival. You know, I mean, like they can screw up your season pretty bad and everything else, but it doesn't have championship implications. Florida always does, and I think it's because of this game. I think it's because of the venue, where it is, where it falls in the season. Now, Auburn and Georgia are like almost like brothers. You know, I think the institutions are similar. The crossovers between coaches, you know, goes well beyond Vince Dooley, but you know all the different crossovers you've had there make it different. But it's not, in my opinion, there's not the hatred involved that there is in the Florida game. And then going back to this game, if you just look at the history of it, both these teams make a living on breaking the other's heart. You know, and that's the end goal for both teams. You know. You know, Georgia right now is the one with all the expectation. Florida is in an advantageous position this year, I think, because they didn't come in with all the expectation. They got nothing to lose. You know, nobody expected them to be in the position that they are right now. Yet here they are with a, you know, identical record to Georgia. So they have all the same goals in line as Georgia does. And then, the way the rivalry has gone, from being so Georgia owned for so long to Florida owning it, and you know, look, I think one of the things I've been telling people since last year. I mean, it was great that Georgia won like they did, dominating Florida last year and winning 42-7. But it's not like that flipped. I mean, if you just look at the immediate history, I mean, Florida's still owning this series right now, and that's their attitude coming into this game. So, I think it's number one, Florida. I really don't think it's all that close, but I'd go in modern day, from my standpoint, following this series, I'd go, you know, Florida 1, Auburn 2, and Georgia Tech 3.
Yeah, I think I probably agree with you in a lot of that, Chip. Let me shift gears here to what's actually going to happen on the field on Saturday. And, you know, Kirby Smart, when he spoke to you guys on Tuesday night, was pretty coy about his quarterbacks. What do you think happens on Saturday? Is it a replay of the LSU game where the game mostly belongs to Fromm, with the exception of a couple running plays for Fields? Do we actually get a chance to see Fields throw the ball on Saturday? Is it more of a 50-50 split? I know it's a tough thing to predict right now, but if I did force you to put your prognosticator's hat on, how would you handicap what's likely to happen between these quarterbacks against the Gators?
Well, without getting specifics on the Florida game, I mean, I just think we're going to see more of Justin Fields. I think we have to, because I think what was exposed in the LSU game, I guess, is maybe that, that Jake Fromm is capable of having a bad day and you've got to have an option. And that's where I think all of us came out of that game like, you got another guy over here and this guy's not having a good day. Why don't you try, the young kid? And so I think you're going to see Georgia try to make more of an effort to get a little bit more of a package in for him. Now, that said, I still think it's Jake Fromm's team. I think it's Jake Fromm's offense. And I think that's for all the reasons that we can't see going into the LSU game. It's whatever conclusions that, that Jim Chaney and James Coley and Kirby Smart are coming to week in and week out from practice. You know, for whatever reason, they haven't felt like Justin Fields can carry more of a load to this point. But I think they're realizing that he's going to have to carry more load. You got to get him ready to carry more load, because you can't take a chance on just, he had a bad day, we were off, and I'm thinking of all the uncouth ways to say, but it is put up or shut up time, right? I mean, with the Florida game, there's no time to fool around. There's no time for somebody having a bad day. If you got an option, then you need to use it. So I think we're going to see more of Justin Fields probably in this game, but I think overall, as the year goes on, we're going to see a little bit more of Justin Fields in the game plan.
We played some pretty provocative audio before you joined us of Tim Tebow on the Feinbaum Show on Friday saying that he thought Georgia had quit, at least to some degree, against LSU. That's a pretty stern thing to say about a Georgia team here. Do you think that there is some evidence of that, that maybe Georgia didn't produce as much effort as LSU did two Saturdays ago? Because clearly that's either a big-time motivator, I think, for Georgia going into Florida, or a pretty stinging indictment of the lack of focus for the LSU game. Where do you come down on Tebow suggesting that Georgia may have quit against LSU?
Well, I mean, I don't agree with it, number one, but I mean, it's also, I mean, there were also, if you remember, if you look back to last year, there were some accusations of that in the Auburn game. And at the end of the day, when you're getting your butt whipped, which is what was going on in the LSU game, generally, you know, we can, you know, we're going backward when we start talking about the first and 10 and 38 and the play calls and everything that happened there. It should have still been a ball game for a lot of reasons. Going back to the ill-fated fake field goal, it should have been more in a game than it was. But yeah, I mean, I thought Georgia, didn't play like all the Georgia. They got out of character, and that's going to be key into this game. You can't try to be something you're not when the stakes are like they are for this game in particular. And I don't think Georgia maybe realized what the stakes were going to be at Baton Rouge, and they got out of character a little bit. I don't think you'll see them get out of character in this game. And I think Georgia's been challenged in a lot of different ways. I guarantee it, Kirby Smart is challenging. We've heard it to some degree, him running around with that microphone in his hand out on the practice field. There's a lot of challenging going on. And I still think Georgia has a better personnel than Florida. I don't think we were off about that in the preseason. They need to remember that, and they need to play like that.
I think that's well said, Chip. We appreciate your time on our program today. We'll look forward to a bunch from you at Dog Nation this week, and then we'll see you in Jacksonville coming up on Saturday.
Looking forward to it, man.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Love that line from Chip Towers. He says, "We were not wrong at the beginning of the season. We thought that Georgia had more talent than Florida, but it's time to go out there and show it if you're UGA." That's a paraphrase of what Chip had to say there. I think he's 1,000,000% right about that. It's one of the reasons why I love having Chip Towers here on Dog Nation Daily on a Monday. We'll do our SEC Through. We'll talk to Champ Bailey as well coming up in a couple of minutes. Before that, though, let me remind you here that there's some great stuff going on at your local Atlanta Kroger right now, including the introduction of Kroger Ship, a great new program that's so easy to use that delivers the essentials you need right to your door. You can also shop now and get up to 15% off and free shipping on your first order. So check out Kroger Ship. And don't forget that right now Kroger's gobbling up on big savings at your local Atlanta Kroger for the Halloween season. You can stock up on trick-or-treating stuff like the candy and the cookies, decorations, and everything you need there for your Halloween needs. We were at Kroger last night. I had one of these neighborhoods where you have like 100-something trick-or-treaters that come through there seemingly on a Halloween night. So we had like 2 shopping carts full of the candy last night. I was really glad, man. Kroger Big Savings gave me a chance to walk out of there with a lot less money than I thought it was going to cost. So good stuff there from Kroger, helping us get ready for Halloween there. I cannot wait. I know my kids are excited about that next week. If you've got young kids, I'm sure they're feeling the same way. All right, let me do SEC Through stuff here. If you're watching on video, I want to show you this. I put this on my Twitter account last night. Florida wearing white helmets on Saturday. And, you know, listen, I'm a traditionalist. I don't like the alternate uniforms. I love the idea from a Georgia standpoint of Florida wearing the white helmet here. I'm a little bit of a NASCAR fan. You know, in NASCAR, the phrase trading paint comes up where, you know, you're rubbing against the other car. You get some of your paint scheme on that other car. I mean, how much would you love to see those white Florida helmets come Saturday night filled with grass stains and, you know, red paint chips and everything else from Georgia going out and playing a physical brand of football? I mean, that right there may be enough of a scoreboard. You don't even have to see the actual scoreboard in Everbank Stadium or whatever the thing's called now. Just look at those white helmets on Saturday. How beat up, how dented up, how grass stained, how much red paint, black paint do you see on those things come Saturday night? That may be a pretty good clue for who won this game. So I guess Florida's going to reach down deep in its bag of tricks and try to show off some white helmets. Let's see what George can do to make those things not quite look quite so white once the game's over on Saturday. That could be a lot of fun there. What was a lot of fun apparently for Alabama, not so much fun for Tennessee, was the whipping on Saturday there, and then the subsequent celebration with Butch Jones lighting up the cigar. Albert Haynesworth, a former Tennessee star, took great umbrage, to say the least, with this on Twitter. And on this one, I'm on Albert Haynesworth's side. If you're watching on video, you see the picture of Jones smoking the cigar with an Alabama player, which is the tradition of in this rivalry. It's a cigar smoke at the end of the game. But Albert Haynesworth says, you won against a team you put together, but you're smoking a cigar like you accomplished something? You act like you called the plays or had something to do with the game plan for them. Does the player next to you even know your name, Lyle, which is Butch Jones' given name here? I don't know that I'm a big fan in general of Albert Haynesworth. He did some kind of questionable things when he was in the NFL. But I love the idea of him getting upset with Jones over this, including the scene as captured by Bill Bender in the sidelines on Saturday night. I'm once again showing you this on video right now of Butch Jones celebrating by having Gatorade doused on him. I'm sorry. This entire thing is Bush League to me. I have a huge problem with that. So I'm not with Tennessee fans a lot on the Butch Jones thing. I think I am with the Tennessee fans. I'll also side with LSU on something as well here. Devin White was flagged for targeting in the second half against Mississippi State on Saturday, a game in which LSU won 19-3. Didn't do great offensively, but did enough on defense here. And Joe Oliva, the LSU athletic director, is now petitioning the SEC to reverse this targeting call. Let me show you on Twitter here, Ross Dellinger, who works for Sports Illustrated now, worked for the Baton Rouge Advocate for a long time, says that Oliva contacted the league office immediately after the game Saturday in reference to the targeting call. But as Dellinger explains, there's no appeals process for this. There's nothing that Oliva can do, but he went to the league to say, hey, can you do something to help us out here? I thought this was just a terrible moment for the SEC and the league. I thought to call Devin White for targeting here. We actually have the video that one of the sports stations in Louisiana captured here and put on Twitter. Let me show you some of this of Devin White getting the targeting penalty. At least for those of you watching, you'll get a chance to see this. Maybe we don't have it. Okay, so I guess we don't have that. But you can find it online. It's fairly easy to find, and it is just a terrible, terrible call. And while I'm no LSU fan, the idea of White not playing against Alabama in the first half, I think, is ridiculous, and the SEC can blame itself for that. With that said, here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Marco's Pizza, let me shift gears here, make a change, and bring in a former Georgia great who's got a great event coming up on Friday that he's going to tell us all about. He is a huge figure to many of the people watching and listening to our program right now. It's the great former Georgia Bulldog, Champ Bailey, here on a Dog Nation Daily. Champ, thanks for your time. We appreciate you being a part of our program today. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Brandon. How you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's great to have you on the program. And you got a great event coming up on Friday. We want to hear from you about that. There are a couple other things that I wanted to get your thoughts on. First of all, when I think back onto your career, there are a lot of things that I remember very fondly. Among those is the great performance your team had in Jacksonville against Florida in 1997. At the time, that broke what had been a long losing streak for Georgia against Florida. No doubt you have great memories of that as well, and you understand to Georgia fans just how special these wins against Florida are. What did it mean to you to be a part of that team along with Robert Edwards and Hines Ward, Mike Bobo, and all those guys who went out and beat the Gators there that day? What did that mean to you and your team to go out there and do that back in 1997?
Well, it meant a lot. You know, like you said, you know, there was a streak going of losing to them for several years. And, you know, to be able to break that streak, it was very meaningful. It was also meaningful in a way, you know, my brother was on the field with me, Ron, you know, and having all those great players you mentioned, Hines Ward, Robert Edwards, Mike Bobo, and Kirby Smart as well. I mean, it was a great experience because, like you say, it's hard to beat these guys. It was. But now I think we're in a different position, but people always have to understand, like, this is the biggest rivalry in college sports. So anything can happen in these games because the level of excitement is so high. I mean, it's easy to get out of character.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point, keeping your emotions in check, not getting too inflamed there in a moment like that. And you mentioned this current Georgia team right now, Champ. What have you kind of made of this team thus far? You know, still very much in the thick of the playoff chase after losing to LSU a couple of Saturdays ago. What do you think about your former team here as they get ready to head into Jacksonville on Saturday?
Well, tons of talent, great coaching staff. But I feel like maybe we're a step behind, and I think we're growing, and which is good. I don't think you want to play your best football in October. You more like want to do that late November, you know, when the stakes are high. But you want to keep improving, and I think that's where we are. We have a lot of talent. You know, I would like to see Justin Fields on the field a lot more because it's hard to see him sit on the sideline with all that talent. You know, I know we have Fromm. I know he's been great for us. But it's also hard to just see that talent sitting on the sideline knowing that we can utilize them.
I guess I think a lot of Georgia fans probably agree with you on that, Champ. That's been something we've heard from a lot of people on, is how does Georgia use Justin Fields more, use him more effectively than just the couple of running plays we saw against LSU? I mean, you know, you obviously play with a lot of great quarterbacks over the course of your career, both in the college level, the NFL level. What is the best way you think to use Justin Fields? Is it exclusively as the starting quarterback? Is it a mixture of Fromm and Fields? How is the best way to use Justin right now?
I'm not sure if he's ready to be a full-time starter yet, but I know he needs to be in the game plan. Now, I think he did a pretty good job of using him in previous games. I'm not sure why it took so long in this past game against LSU, but one thing I always notice when he does go in the game, it sort of ignites Fromm as well. It seems like Fromm picks his game up a little bit. As you can tell, when he came out and came back in, he hit like two or three straight passes, and it was like, okay, he's a different player. But then he kind of regressed a little bit, you know, later in the game. Not all his fault, but, you know, quarterbacks are going to be scrutinized on a different level. But I think going forward, just put him in there when it makes sense and just have packages for him, good plays for him. He's a quarterback through and through. He can run, he can throw, so let's use it.
So obviously the Georgia-Florida game for a long time has been known as the world's largest outdoor cocktail party, and when it's going to have a nickname like that, there are going to be some great cocktail parties around the event. Maybe among the biggest is going to be Friday night, a big party that you're hosting. And, Champ, what's cool about this is it's not just a chance for folks to come out and have a good time, but also get a chance to kind of rub elbows with yourself, some other former Georgia and some Florida players here as well. This is a really big time, not just fun time, but also kind of a network marketing event, a chance to meet some pretty significant power players in the world of football here. What can you tell us about what's going to be going on Friday night, the great party that you're hosting there in Jacksonville?
Well, it's an event that, you know, it kind of came about naturally. You know, I think being retired, you realize that there's a lot of guys out here floating around that really have no true guidance and, you know, true support. So we decided we just get a bunch of guys together, put them in the same area with, you know, a lot of executives and former alumni from both schools. I mean, we got a lot of great players coming from both Florida and Georgia. And what we want to do is really just make some meaningful connections, you know, have a little fun in the process. But everybody has something going on that they can benefit from, either alumni or former player themselves, you know. So it's really just a way to enhance, you know, basically our celebrity and use that to better benefit what we have going on and find ways to help each other.
So it's a great time for folks to hang out with you and get to know yourself and some more former Georgia players and Florida players more. It's going to be at Adams Street Station on Friday night, which is on Adams Street in Jacksonville. That's easy enough for me to remember because my last name is Adams. And Champ, it sounds like if folks want to know more about this event, they can email tbh@teambaileyholdings.com. Is that the right way to get in touch to find out more about this?
Yes, no doubt. That's a good way to find out. And also, you know, you can go on Eventbrite. We're selling tickets on there. Just type in Champ Bailey Presents the Players Reception. And it's all the information you need is on that site. I mean, you can also follow me at @DChampBailey on Instagram. And I'll have a lot of information going up this week about the event and trying to make sure everybody is well-informed about what we're trying to do here.
So let me make sure I get all this right. The Champ Bailey on Instagram, a great place to go to see more about this. Find the event on Eventbrite as well if you want to buy tickets there. Simply Champ Bailey Presents, and you can kind of dive in and get more of that. You can also email for more information at tbh@teambaileyholdings.com. It comes up this Friday from 5 to 9 p.m. at Adams Street Station right there on East Adams Street in Jacksonville. Champ, it sounds like it's going to be a great event. I know a lot of our audience will love to be there and be a part of it. We appreciate you coming on our program today to tell us more about it.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. And also, I want to mention, we're going to have a silent and live auction. you know, donating a lot of things. All the money is going to go to United Way of Northeast Florida. I think Danny Werfel is going to donate a football with like 20 Heisman Trophy winners. I'm donating a Broncos jersey. You know, it's we're going to have over 15, 20 items, you know, up for auction. And hopefully everybody can bid on them. And you know, everything you know goes to the highest bidder. So, you know, look forward to seeing everybody there and, you know, bidding on some of these items and, you know, taking care of the less fortunate.
Yeah, absolutely. A great way to benefit the United Way right there in Northeast Florida, and a great silent auction for folks to come away with some big-time memorabilia from some former great players on both sides there of the Georgia-Florida rivalry. Champ, it's a great event, a great impact in the community, and a great time as well coming up on Friday night. We appreciate you being here to discuss it.
All right, thanks, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Good stuff there from Champ Bailey, the former Georgia great, and a great event coming up Friday from 5 to 9 p.m. right there at Adams Street Station. As his brother Boss Bailey is going to be a part of this, some guys from the Florida side there as well. One of the biggest parties of the weekend happens right there in Jacksonville on Friday night, so you can check that out more. Find the Champ Bailey on Instagram or email tbh@teambaileyholdings.com, and you can get the link for the Eventbrite where you can buy your tickets and be a part of that. All right, before we go here, let me talk about one more thing. I wrote about this on DogNation.com on Friday, and I was talking about Jake Fromm a little bit, but in diving into Fromm, one of the things that I noticed is when we look back on the 2017 season, one of the things that we remember was that a big part of Georgia's passing success was due to the way that Javon Wims emerged as a wide receiver target. But if you go back and look, and I wrote about this at DogNation.com on Fridays in my By the Numbers piece, that the year that Wims had, the way that in which we think of Wims as the true target of choice for Fromm last season, that wasn't necessarily true in just the first half of the year. And through seven games, and Wims played in 14 a year ago, through seven games, Wims had just two touchdowns. It was over the course of the final seven games of Wims' 2017 season that he really emerged as that go-to target for Fromm, catching five of his seven touchdowns over the course of the final seven games in which he played in 2017. Which brings me to something we do every week on this program, our R.S. Andrews Cool Under Pressure Performer of the Week. If I want to look ahead to the cocktail party on Saturday and say, who does that need to be? If Georgia's going to step up, not just in the game against Florida, but for the rest of the season and get back to where it was a year ago, back in the college football playoff, I think one of the things that'd be great to see is one of those wide receivers step up. Now, we don't know yet who it's going to be. Is it Riley Ridley, who looked pretty good against LSU? Is it Terry Gowan, who's made some big catches in his Georgia career? Is it Mecole Hardman, who was really flashing at the beginning of this season? Is a guy like Demetrius Robertson, who hasn't been on the field as much as some Georgia fans want? The answer to who it's going to be, there may be some debate about that. But the answer of does it need to be someone, I don't think there's much debate to be had about that whatsoever. This is a Georgia team still looking for its go-to receiver. And as the debate rages about who's the right quarterback for Georgia, Jake Fromm or Justin Fields, who's the right go-to receiver to make that quarterback's job easier, that's also a debate that needs to be had. So as we think about coming up on Saturday in the cocktail party, let's think about our R.S. Andrews Cool Under Pressure Performer of the Week. I'm calling on the Georgia wide receiving corps to step up in a big way and to get the job done when the pressure mounts against Florida coming up this week. And by the way, speaking of R.S. Andrews, I've been telling you now for a while that we knew that cooler weather was coming, and when it's 100 degrees outside, it almost feels like that's not going to be the case. And yet, what was it last night? 30-something degrees up in the northern suburbs where I live. It's one of those nights where you want your furnace to be working really, really well, and the way to make sure it stays working all cool weather season long is by getting the VIP access that's provided by R.S. Andrews and their $99 furnace tune-up. It'll give you the coverage you need to keep you safe, inspecting your heat exchanger for leaks, checking filters, your flue, your vents, everything else. R.S. Andrews is going to get your system to factory fresh specs, and it's just $99. So call the ones we trust for your fall furnace checkup. It's just $99, and you can find it online at rsandrews.com. All right, a couple things here as we wrap up. First of all, we did our Gator Hitter countdown near the beginning of our show, so we've already taken care of that for those of you who want to make sure you hear that every single day. I will say this, and I tweeted about this on Saturday. I thought that Jeff Centel, our recruiting insider, had a very provocative interview with five-star wide receiver Jaden Hazelwood. Now, I'm going to save most of my thoughts on that and discuss that with Jeff when he joins us tomorrow. We'll also talk about that on Wednesday afternoon for Before the Hedges as well. But these are pretty provocative quotes here of some pretty bold statements by Hazelwood. If you've missed the piece, you're going to want to check that out because it's definitely going to generate a lot of conversation. We'll do a lot of that with Jeff tomorrow as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern tell-all, and then on Before the Hedge is coming up Wednesday at 3 p.m. Let me also finish the show on kind of a somber note. Sonny Michel suffers what looked to be a pretty significant serious injury yesterday. Prayers out for him. A really good rookie season coming to an too short of an end here, but we'll send out prayers for Sonny Michel and see you tomorrow here on Dog Nation Daily.